And good morning to you. I'm glad you're here today. It's week two of our four-week series on the mission and vision of Grace Baptist Church. And so you're here at a good time. I'm thrilled that you're here. If you missed last week, week one of our series, you can go back. We put all of the message in its entirety on our website, gbcfortworth.com. So I want to invite you to go back and catch up. If you missed last week or if you miss a week ahead, we'll be posting all of those online. I know life happens, and so if you miss, I encourage you to catch up. And I didn't do a great job of this last week, but I want to draw to your attention on the back table, as well as at the Welcome Center when you come in the door, is a copy of everything that I'm talking about during this four-week series. It has all of the scripture references that I'm using in just a handy way. We made it small. You can put it inside your Bible or take that with you. So I encourage you to pick that up. Now, if you're a digital person, it's also on our website. So you can check it out there, gbcfortworth.com. All of this information is out there. We've put it out there on purpose. We want you to see it. We want you to read it. Obviously, that's what we're all about. And so we want to make sure we have it in front of people. So what's our mission at Grace? I'm going to put it here in front of you again. Our mission at Grace Baptist Church, we exist to make disciples of Jesus through worship of God, through equipping believers, through living in community, and sharing the gospel with the world. Our mission is rooted in the Great Commission of Matthew 28 that Jesus gave to us. He said to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. And so we begin with that. We need to make disciples. And we do that. We don't replace Scripture. We don't want to add everything we do. All that we're talking about last week and in the weeks to come are rooted in words that are in Scripture, instructions to the church. Nothing man-made. Nothing that we can make can ever replace that. God's word is always going to be the center of what we do. It's going to be where we get our direction. And we've made this phrase, this statement that I shared with you just a moment ago, just to help us articulate how it is that we're going to go out and make disciples. It's important for us to have a map, isn't it? An idea of where we're going and how we're going to get there. Well, I know where we're going. We're going to make disciples, just like Jesus told us to do. So we have to have some ways to do that. Now, last week we looked at worship. We talked about how much worship sometimes only gets defined as music, and I shared with you that's a part of worship. Anything that is a response to what Jesus did for us is worship. So we do that corporately. We come together here, we sing, we hear God's word, we pray. We talked about worship being corporate. Worship is also personal. I shared with you last week, we should all be striving to have personal times of worship in our own lives, whether that's a reading through a devotional, reading through a book of the Bible, studying your book of the Bible, whatever that looks like for you. Personal worship is important. We talked about prayer, both corporate prayer that we do in here and prayer that you do on your own is also important. And then lastly, we talked about how we worship in our giving. All that we have is God's, and as a response to his love for us in Jesus Christ, we give back to him freely. So that was worship. You might notice a pattern here. There's four bold words. We're going in order. You caught on to that, right? Now, today we're going to be talking about equipping. What does it mean to equip believers? Now, I could have chosen several different words for this particular aspect of our mission. I kept trying to searching through Scripture, and I kept coming back to the word equip, or the word equipping. And from its base definition, just if you looked up what does it mean to equip in the dictionary, just in Webster's dictionary, nobody uses that anymore, dictionary.com, okay, right? Here's what it says. To equip is to supply with the necessary items for a purpose or to prepare for a particular task. So I kept coming back to that word equip because we have a purpose, don't we? Jesus has given us our purpose and we have a task, don't we? And so when we come to the word equipping, we see equipping as something which gives us the necessary items and prepares us for the task that is hand. And that's why at hand. That's why I kept coming back to that word equip. And we're going to look at it in Scripture today. And there's some other places. Obviously, you feel free in that brochure or on our website, there's other passages which I couldn't even get to today just because of the sake of time. But I want to invite you in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. This is where perhaps we find it used. Maybe this is the most common to you when you hear that word equipping. And now I normally preach through books of the Bible, and we take everything, you know, verse by verse and line by line. And so you'll have to forgive me. I've got to give an introduction to the first three chapters of Ephesians before I jump into Ephesians 4. I can't help myself, okay? So the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul has been unfolding the purposes of God. In other words, he's been talking about what God has done in Jesus Christ, how he came, how he lived a perfect life, how he died, and how he was resurrected. And Paul is saying, because Jesus did all those things, because he has come and lived this perfect life and given his life for many, those who receive him, those who believe in him, are made new. And in turn, he begins to speak about this new creation, this new thing that God is doing. And that is manifested in the church. We begin to see the body metaphor again that Paul used back in Colossians. We talked about last week, if you were here. Paul begins to talk about this newness in Christ. And so in Ephesians 4, he begins to speak about, because you've been made new, because you've been changed, because you know that Jesus is your Savior, you're going to do some things differently. You're going to live differently. He begins to speak specifically to the church. And that's what we're going to pick up today in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. If you have a Bible, read along with me. If not, we'll have the words here on the screen for you. Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." May God bless the reading and the teaching of his word. I encourage you to leave your Bible open to that passage. We'll refer back to it several times during our time together this morning. Last week, if you were here, Colossians spoke really some very similar language when we were talking about worship. Paul talked about, because we may be new in Christ, there are just some new standards that we're to live by. We're to put off some old things. We're to put on some new things. You see, he mentioned those, patience and love and bearing with one another. And those are all things that we understand are signs of a changed life, a life that's been changed by Christ. And so the fundamental, you know, statement in the beginning of chapter 4 is this idea of unity and love. And we've talked about that. The church must strive for unity. It must strive for love. Jesus prayed that for us. And so now, listen, verses 1 through 16 are like an 8-week sermon series. I'll be honest with you. I could turn them into an 8-week sermon series really easily, but I don't have time to do that today, okay? And so I want to just briefly, and this is hard for me to do, to not do verse, but I want you to go to verse 11 through 16. That's really where we're going to focus in on today, but I want you to understand where Paul is coming from. He's speaking to the church. He's talking to them about how to live together, how to love together under the authority, as you saw, of the one Lord, one baptism, one God, and Father over all. But we move into the second half of this, what we've read today, and we begin to see in verse 11 this giving of some offices, and he mentions those there. He mentions the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and you may have a little footnote in your Bible, and it refers to pastors. And when he says teachers, he's again speaking to the shepherd and the teacher. And you think, well, okay, that's a list of things. For many of you in this room, you think, I'm none of those things, right? I don't think I'm a prophet. Maybe I am. You know, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a shepherd. And so when you read this, you think, why? What is Justin? What is he doing with this? Well, here's the problem. I read this and I see myself, because God has called me to be a pastor, to be a shepherd. I mean, this is my role. It's not your role, not everybody's role, but it's the role that God has called me to. I take it really seriously. You know, when I was 18 years old, I felt God calling me into ministry, and I don't think I had any idea what that meant. When you're 18, you think you know what that means to be a pastor. I thought I just stood up and talked. It was great. It's so much more than that, isn't it? But I take it really seriously, the role of pastor. And so when I read this, I might read it differently than you do. So I want to share with you, when I'm studying this scripture, when I look at this and I see he gave these, here's what he gave them for. And I have to look at this at me, verse 12. He said, I gave these offices to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Secondly, I gave them for the building up of the body of Christ. So I look at that and I say, okay, what does it mean to me as the pastor, as the leader of the church, not to lord it over somebody or to be, you know, standing high and mighty above everyone, but to come alongside the flock that God has given me and equip the saints for the work of ministry? What does that look like? Well, that's what I've been wrestling with. And that's why when I read this passage, I may read it differently than you, but I pray that I'm able to convey what God has taught me and what he's shown me as we look through this. So I see something important when I look at this passage, when I look at verse 12. When I see the word work, I don't want to stop. I have to stop there in a minute and just think about that. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. If we read through the New Testament, if we read through the scriptures of Paul's writing, of Jesus, of John's writing, of all the things, Peter's writings, all the letters, we never find a passive church, do we? If we find a passive church, it's usually something that God is speaking against, right? When we find a church that is doing the things that God has called it to do, we find an active church. And I like that word work. We find the word work. Now, that begins with me. I understand that for to lead a group of people, I'm called to lead by example. I know that. And if I'm not, I expect that the men in this church, they should come to me and say, hey, nobody's going to do what you're asking them to do if you won't at least do it yourself. I understand that's on me. But what I love about this is I see in this joining together in every member ministry that I think God has called us to. When we look at Scripture, we don't see pastors trying to do everything or leaders trying to do everything. I've met those guys that have tried to do everything. It burns a lot of guys out. My staff and I, we cannot do everything by ourselves. Now, I'm going to share some numbers with you. These are not about numbers, but just hear this because I think we have to put it in perspective. On a normal Sunday here at Grace, we have around 550 to 600 people that walk through the door. I know most of their names, okay? I'm doing pretty good with most of you. But I cannot, not even our entire staff, can ever minister to that many people individually. It's impossible. It's impossible. That's why we have an every member ministry here at Grace. You know people better than I do. You know how to pray for people. You're in community groups with them. You're in Bible studies with them. You're out in the commons eating donuts with them. You're having all these things together. You understand the call of equipping the saints is my call to model ministry, but to empower you all to come alongside me and do it as well. That's what I see here. When I read this and I read equip the saints for the work of ministry, that call is on me to say, okay, how can I make sure that people use the gifts that God gave them to the best of their ability to serve God and serve the local church? So my role, just hear this, my heart, our staff's heart here at Grace is to encourage you to do three things with the gifts you have. I want you to discover them, first of all. Where is it that you're gifted? I want you to develop them, make them stronger. And then I want you to use them, exercise them. It's simple. Figure out what they are, get better at them, and go out and use them. That's equipping the saints to me. When I read that, I say, "That God, that is what you want." And again, in all of this, hear me say this. I want to lead by example. I want to do that. If I don't, it won't ever work. I want to enable the people of God here at Grace to serve where they're gifted, to use humbly and actively the gifts that God has given. And the body metaphor here is so appropriate, isn't it? That's what he talks about, the body metaphor. Not everybody's a hand, right? Not everybody's a foot. Some of you are elbows, you know, or something. I don't know. I'm not naming names, you know. Just kidding. So, every part is vital, isn't it? It all makes it work together beautifully. And listen, we don't all have the same gifts. If you were all gifted like me, nobody'd work in the nursery, okay? I don't do nursery. Sorry, Lori. But I know some that do, and you love well on babies, and we need you, you know? Some of you wouldn't step foot in a room of teenagers. I'm on that all day. I can handle that. You know, you understand we're all different. We're all made up different. Some of you stand at the front door and talk to every grasshopper that walks by the church door because you just like talking to people. I love your gift of hospitality, you know. You understand we're all different. We're all wired differently. Some of you are like, I don't like public. I want to be behind the scenes. You know, even every week there's people up here that serve faithfully in our sound and our media area. You understand there's a place for everybody. It's finding out where God wants to use you, developing that, and then going out and doing it and using it for his glory. Why do we do this? Well, look at the end of the text that we read today. If you look at all this, he begins to talk about, we do this, we grow, we're equipped so that we won't be like children anymore, that we won't be tossed around by every false statement and deceitful schemes. And there's this idea of growing up, isn't there? There's this idea of maturity. There's this idea of the body coming together and being strengthened. This doesn't always happen overnight, does it? I mean, have you ever tried to get in shape? One day is probably not going to cut it, is it? As a matter of fact, weeks may not cut it, you know. It takes work, doesn't it? It's the same way here. Until we're built up, I have this idea of getting stronger. It takes time to get stronger. But that's our goal, growing up, building ourselves up in love. Now, most of the time when I say the word equipping, a lot of times you walk in here, maybe you saw the title, we're like, oh, today we're talking about equipping. You thought that equipping meant that you sat and I taught you and you left and you were equipped. You were wrong. Okay, it's a very active ministry here at Grace. So I want to articulate it for you here. Let me get to our application. This is in the brochure. This is on the website. We believe that the church has been commanded to equip the saints through discipleship in our spiritual gifts and in our abilities for the work of ministry and the edification or the building up of the body of Christ. You are very active in the equipping ministry here at Grace. It cannot be just me. I have to lead it. I have to model it. But you're active in it. So we have three things. The first thing is simply this. We believe that we are equipped as we serve, as we work, as we go and do, and as we offer up the use of our spiritual gifts and our abilities. And listen, we rely on the faithfulness of our members to do this. it takes every one of us to make sure that our preschool area is staffed and our children's area and our students and greeters and safety. I can go on and on in media and all of these places. It takes a lot of people every Sunday. I am so thankful for the many of you that are here bright and early making coffee. Making people feel welcome and loving on our kids and loving on our folks of all ages. Teaching classes and, listen, invaluable. Some of you, though, haven't found your place. It's okay. I've got good news. The orange cord. I told you it was coming back. Did y'all like how I pulled that out of the podium there? I'm kidding. So what do you say? What do we do if I don't know what to do with my spiritual gifts? What do we do? Listen, this goes back to Ephesians 4. Our role, my role as pastor, our role as staff, is to help you discover your spiritual gifts. I mean, don't be embarrassed that you're like, I don't really know where I should serve. I don't really know what I should do. Hey, let us help you. On this card, we've listed, equip me to serve. There's a couple areas there. Connections, kids, youth, worship, missions. You read that and you go, none of the above. That's why we put other, okay? Just check other. Now, in all seriousness, fill this out. Let us meet with you one-on-one. That's what our staff wants to do. Meet with you. Help you discover your spiritual gift. Help you find what you enjoy. If we put you in a place and you get there and that's not for you, let's try something else. Don't give up. God has a place for you. He has a role for you. And I believe that each and every one of us, if we've been saved, if we've been changed by Christ, we've got a spiritual gift. Scripture teaches us that. Let us help you find a way to use it. I love Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. I'm going to read it. You just listen. You've heard it before, but it's great. Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members don't all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." You see, everybody's got a role. Everybody's got a gift. You are equipped as you serve. And in turn, I'm able to fulfill what I believe God has called me to, which is the equipping of the saints. Do you see how it works? It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ coming together. I want to encourage you today. Get involved. We need you. There are specific areas where I will not hide this. We have very real needs. Would you pray about where my God might have you serve here at Grace? Secondly, we offer what we call equip classes. These classes happen 4 times a year, 2 times in the fall, 2 times in the spring on Wednesday night. We offer them kind of in a semester format. These are detailed classes specifically in some of the areas that we've talked about to help you maybe discover your spiritual gift. Maybe to hone in on something such as how to read the Bible or how to pray. Or how to, even more practical than that, marriage, parenting, finance. If you're a new Christian, what does it mean to have a quiet time with God? All of these things, very practical. What's the gospel? How do I share the gospel? We are equipped as we make ourselves stronger. We talked about that building up of the body. This is a part of the building up of the body that we're talking about. I was thrilled this Wednesday night. We began our equip classes for the fall one semester. We had 235 people walk through the door on Wednesday night. That's a great percentage of our church. There's still room for you. Let me tell you, there's still room. There's plenty of room. You only miss 1 week. The penalty is very light for only missing 1 week. You can come and join us. And if you can, I know many of you work and things like that, but join us 6:30 on Wednesday nights. There's a brochure at the welcome online, lists the classes. Just show up Wednesday and we'll help you find a place. We'd love to have you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, I'm going to just paraphrase this. Paul's talking to the church about everybody wants to have the flashy gifts. Everybody wants to do the stuff up in front, like, you know, be in center stage. And Paul speaks to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and says, sometimes we just need to desire the simple things, the building up of ourselves and of the body of Christ. Sometimes you just need that. You need to say, you know what? I've got a specific area of my life that I'm struggling in, or that I just need some guidance in. Join one of our equip classes and let us help you biblically through those areas. And last, we are thrilled to be a church that is able to offer a biblical counseling ministry. I know that sometimes you just need a little more one-on-one. I know. We believe in that, and we believe in the power of biblical counseling. The key of what we do in our biblical counseling ministry is the Bible. We're going to use Scripture to guide you and to help you through situations that life throws at you. I know that life throws stuff at us, and sometimes we just need one-on-one or couples counseling. We offer those things, and we believe strongly in those things and use God's Word as our guide. I love 2 Timothy 3:16, a Scripture that I remembered way back from Bible college. I had a professor that drilled this in us from the very beginning. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be complete, and here's what it says, equipped for every good work. I know sometimes you just need a little more one-on-one. We're blessed to be able to offer that at no cost to those who need it. If you need that, you can go to our website, gbcfortworth.com/counseling. Right there on the page, you can actually fill out the paperwork online and get everything set up. It's all private and password protected, and then someone will reach out to you, and you can get an appointment with one of our counselors. I encourage you to do that if you need to. This is our three areas of what we're going to do to be a church that is a church that's equipping. We're going to drive people to service. We're going to drive people to our equip classes for more specialized, and even more specialized and more personal than that, we're going to point people toward our biblical counseling ministry. Let me say this, though. I need you to hear this above anything else, perhaps, today that I say. I don't want anyone to serve because they believe that that's what's going to make them righteous. Hear me in that. You can pass out bulletin until your arm falls off, okay? You can hold babies and rock babies all day, but it will not grant you a right standing before God. Our works are not what save us. We are saved by faith alone and by grace alone through the power of Jesus Christ. I do not call you today to serve to find yourself a way to righteousness. Hear me say that. We serve out of an abundance of our heart for what Christ has done for us. He saved us. He's changed us. He's made us new, and he's given us his Spirit that lives within us and resides within us, and an overflow of that. That's how I want you to serve. I'm thankful for a church that serves. Boy, don't hear me saying this today that we are blessed, and we have so many of you that faithfully serve and teach and volunteer. And can I say thank you? Thank you for what you do each and every week. But for many of you, you honestly, you sit here and you think, I'm not. And I don't do this to make any sort of guilty conscience or any sort of anything like that. It's just, can you look in your heart? Can you look inside and say, Lord, I know what you've done for me. I know what you've done for me. Lord, what can I do? What can I do for you, for your church, for your body? And we're not going to force you into something you're not gifted at, or force you into something you absolutely can't stand. Like I said, we're going to try to come alongside you and find a place where God can use you for his glory, for the glory of his church, and for his kingdom. I saw this week, and I'll close with this. We serve and grow in our faith out of gratitude and obedience to the work of Christ in our lives. Obedience is always the proper response to grace. Let's pray together. I invite you to take just a moment. As we always do when we open God's Word and when we hear from it, we ask that it just, I don't want this to be about my words, that His Word speaks to us. God, what is it that You're saying to me today? God, where is it that I need to, Lord, work toward, or just serving You, being equipped by You, God? What is it, Lord, that You want me to do, that You're calling me to do? And for each and every one of you, that's probably different. God made us all unique, made us all special. And I, just in a moment when we pray and we sing, our prayer partners will be here, the altar will be open. Maybe you just need to pray, Lord, what is it that You want me to do to serve You, serve Your church, serve Your body? So God, we come to You this morning and we are humbled, Lord, just in Your presence. Would You just speak into us today, Lord, words of life and words of truth? Lord, I believe You've gifted every single person that has, Lord, been redeemed by You and been bought by You. Would You help them to find those gifts, to use those gifts, Lord, to use them for Your glory? Right. Pray that I'd be an example in that, God, that I'd be obedient, our staff would be obedient in everything that we do, Father, that in everything we do, God, is not about us or not about making us look good, God, but I want to put You to the front, God. Give glory to Your name in everything that we do. May that be what our church is all about. God, if there's somebody here today and just through the power of Your Spirit, they need to respond to You and to the gospel message, would You give them the freedom to do that? Lord, You can do that anytime, Lord, that Your word is open. And so would You call people to Yourself today? Lord, we love You. We thank You for a chance to be a part of this body, to worship You together, to serve You together. So we pray these things this morning in Jesus' name.